This is, "Hey Baby, Won't You Look My Way?" Written by Safely Capricious and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel DC crossover, rated mature, featuring the relationship Clint Barton / Roy Harper / Jason Todd. Tagged, "Flirting, Oblivious, Not Actually Unrequited Love, Unreliable Narrator, Crushes, Self-Esteem Issues, Minor Injuries, Caretaking, Humor, and Idiots in Love."
I know there's no phone and no labels to put on to this thing we keep and dip into when we need. We don't have the right to ask where you go.
It takes Jason an embarrassingly long time to realize that the trick shots and dares that Roy and Clint are tossing back and forth, getting more elaborate every time and more impressive, are more than just professional competitiveness. It's flirting. It's a lot of flirting. And he's just been sitting there, also ostensibly on the team, but not doing much since, quite frankly, he's more of the brute force variety, and with their stealth shots, they haven't needed him much at all. So, he's just been sitting there, waiting for something to do, and watching his childhood crush turned adulthood crush flirt with his developing crush and... "I should have gone with Corey, Nat, and Bucky," he says to himself. The other two haven't paid any attention to any of his side commentary yet tonight, so he's surprised when Roy tosses a frown his way. "They're having girl talk, Jaybird. You're bad at girl talk," is Roy's immediate response. "Wait, how can you be bad at girl talk?" Clint sounds baffled. "Wait, does that mean Bucky is good at girl talk? Am I bad at girl talk?" Also, Roy continues, ignoring Clint, pointing a finger at Jason. "You're not a redhead, so you wouldn't fit in." Jason regrets that he's wearing his helmet and he can't rub his temple, or the headache is starting. But he's glad, at least, that no one can see the expression that is no doubt stretched across his face with his realization. "Bucky isn't a redhead either," he says, trying not to let any of his upset bleed into his voice as he waves a hand at Roy. "And you're full of it." "I should have gone with them, you're right," Roy says, and Jason mimes strangling him, but doesn't bother to move from where he's leaning. "Nat's blonde right now anyways," Clint protests. "Stop bringing logic into it, Barton," Roy says, voice slightly higher pitched and teasing, and... "Yeah, Jason needs to get out of here yesterday. He can't watch this." Roy is his best friend, and he was happy for him when he was with Corey, and he'll be happy for him when he and Clint get together, but he can't... It's not... He just needs a minute. "I'm going to get some air," he says, and hops over the low retaining wall and drops the two stories to the ground easily, rolling into the impact instinctively. "Is the air on the roof bad?" he hears Clint ask Roy as he strides away, but he doesn't hear the response, waiting until he's found an area without any cameras to take his helmet off so he can let out an unsteady breath and just breathe. Fuck. Fuck, he hates this. He hates having feelings, and he hates having to watch this, and he hates that if he just leaves the two of them alone, they'll probably get themselves into some trouble they wouldn't be able to get out of, and he'll have to go in guns blazing and rescue them. But even if he's there, there's a decent chance they're all going to get bruised and beat up when the action actually starts in earnest, and he is going to have to watch them tenderly patch each other up and... Fuck. He really wishes he was with the other team right then. He's pretty sure he'd be better at girl talk than Bucky. Though, honestly, if he had to tell any of the three of them, Nat, Corey, or Bucky, about his crush and hurt feelings, he'd be most comfortable telling Bucky. Which maybe means that out of the three of them, Bucky is actually the best at so-called girl talk. "I am not passing the Bechdel test," he mutters to himself, before he fits his helmet back on his head and turns to return to the scene. They're going to have to go in sometime in the next 2 hours, and he does actually need to be ready. He'll just start doing math in his head or something to ignore the other two and stop feeling like a sad potato. It'll be fine. Well, no one dies. Some days, that's the best that can be expected of a mission. But despite Jason's prior thoughts, he's the one who ends up the most injured, which is honestly just so fucking embarrassing. Especially because the asshole had gotten a swipe in because he'd been too distracted looking at Clint's fucking shoulders as he did a particularly acrobatic move. Definitely something he learned from Nat. And now he's got a gash across his back that fucking hurts. It didn't stop him from killing the guy, obviously, but he can tell that the blood has dried his shirt to the cut and that it's going to be a bitch to try to take care of himself. Still, he stalks into the bathroom by himself to see what he can do, and then whirls around when the door is immediately opened again. "Let me get that, Jaybird," Roy says, grabbing a washcloth from the shelf just in time for Clint to push him out of the way. "You should clean your boots, like you were bitching, Harper. I can help Jason, and then he can help me with this scrape on my arm." Clint grins, bright as anything, just in time for Roy to shove him away with a hand over the side of his face. "Fuck off, I'm taking care of it," Roy says, and then Clint is getting into his face. "I think I'd be better at it," he says back. Jason blinks, bemused, as the two argue, almost nose to nose. He thinks there's a good chance they've actually forgotten that he's there. Unfortunately, they're blocking the doorway and he can't get out, and he really does need to do something about his back. He turns away from them and tugs on his shirt, wincing when it pulls. Yeah, that's definitely a shitty idea. Sighing, he stares down at his boots. If he can get them and his pants off, then he can just step into the shower and use the water to help loosen the shirt, and then also clean it and... "Here, we got you," Roy says. And suddenly, he's kneeling at Jason's left leg, and Clint is at the other, and they're taking his boots off and... "What are you doing?" he asks, as they help him step out of them, and then Clint has scissors and he's starting to cut Jason's shirt off of him. "Your shirt is an absolute lost cause, I'm sorry," Clint says with a grimace. Which really was not what Jason was talking about. He got it in a pack of four at some box store. He's not really attached. "I didn't mean... Just let us take care of you, Jaybird," Roy says, and then he's helping Clint peel Jason's tattered shirt off, and Jason can barely see them in the mirror due to how he's standing, but he's very aware of them at his back, and the terribly gentle way they're trying to clean his wound. "I can just get in the shower," he says, as they tenderly dab. "I would love to wash your back in the shower, yes," Clint says. And then there's the sound of fabric and the sound of hitting, and when Jason shifts to glance over his shoulder, which makes him wince, bad idea, those muscles don't like that, Clint has taken off his shirt already, and now he and Roy are having a slap fight. "What the fuck, you guys?" he says, and then, since they're not responding, he just starts to undo his pants. He's given up any body shyness a long time ago, and he wants to get this stupid wound clean so he can slap a bandage on it. If he was by himself, he'd lightly tape it to the wall and then back into it, which hurts like hell, but mostly works for this sort of injury. He's pretty sure he can at least talk one of them into doing it, whenever they're done doing whatever they're doing. Except, as soon as he drops his pants, they both stop and just stare at him. He huffs another breath, drops his briefs, and then steps into the shower. As he turns on the water, he can vaguely hear the shuffle of bodies and fabric falling to the ground, and he can't be too surprised when they both try to climb in the shower with him. "What the fuck, you guys?" he repeats, even as he lets them go back to gently cleaning his back, this time under the spray. If they were all in Gotham, he'd think they'd gotten doused with something, but this had been a purely Hydra venture, not even AIM, and they tend to not fall in for that sort of nonsense. He's tired, and they're being weird. But they probably do a better job of getting his wound clean than he would have, although he maintains that due to his exposure to Gotham bullshit, he can handle some minor germs from fucking Colorado, which is where they are now. "All right, we need to get this bandaged, can you?" Roy says as he turns off the water, and then Clint is hopping out and handing Jason and Roy towels. Jason uses his on himself, Roy also uses his on Jason, and then Clint is there again with a bunch of butterfly bandages ready to go, and then a few gauze pads and tape to go over it, which makes Jason grimace, but he lets them do their thing. Roy spreads some antibiotic ointment over it before the band-aids go on. Jason accepts the sweats that Clint hands him and tugs them on over still damp legs. The exhaustion and probably some blood loss is starting to hit him. He's vaguely aware of Clint and Roy also pulling on sweatpants, and then he's heading towards the bed and... When he wakes up, it's to Clint and Roy cuddled around him. Even in sleep, they manage to keep their arms off his bandage and... Wait, what the fuck? Were they flirting with him? "It's too early," Roy mutters, and presses a kiss to the back of Jason's shoulder. "Go back to sleep." Clint mumbles something incomprehensible that might include the phrase hot stuff and cuddles closer, throwing a leg over Jason's, and Jason can feel some evidence of the fact that he must be having a good dream. Wait, there's a second bed in this safe house, he says. But you aren't in it, Clint mumbles, and then bites, lightly, at Jason's shoulder. Jason feels himself blue screen, and then Roy is mumbling about going back to sleep and, honestly, sleep sounds like maybe the safest bet right now. He'll do that, and reevaluate when he's more awake and doesn't have someone's heart on poking his hip. The end. Podfickers note, this was podficked for the extreme timed, etc. 48-hour challenge thing. I have learned that I cannot try to recite it, so I will not. But safely, I hope you enjoy this. It was very fun to pod for you.